Hello, family and friends. This is Eddie, host with TBD Network. You are listening to Severely Deficient Audiobiographical Memory podcast with Eric G. Martinez, the man.
Severely Deficient Autobiographical Memory. I think the name is terrible. It's too long to say. It implies that we don't remember our own lives, when in fact we do. We just don't remember all of the sensory aspects. Some of us can dream pretty vividly, so we know we have the images there, the sounds there, because we experience them while dreaming. Granted, when we awake, we don't remember these images as images. They have no color or depth. There are no lines. There is no sound. It's just a knowing that there was a conversation. Maybe we'll remember the gist, the general outline of what the main idea of the dialogue was, but it is doubtful that we will remember the exact dialogue because it is not recorded. Anyway, what I'm getting at is that we do remember. We just remember facts. Something like trivia, except it pertains to our own experience. And I think that it makes us almost watchers of our own lives, because we are present at all times, even when we're not paying attention to something that is in front of us. It is because we're analyzing likely something that pertains to what is in front of us. For instance, I will be reminded of many things about myself and the world in the moment when I see things in a kind of relationship to each other. But I do not really daydream or fantasize, which is a big topic for me. I read a book once called By Force of Fantasy. And in that book, my baby's crying in the background. I hope you forgive me. He's in the other room with his mother, Corinne, who was on a past episode, if you remember her. Back on the point. I think that, well, I forgot what I was saying. This happens to me a lot, especially when I get caught up in a kind of flight of ideas where I allow myself to kind of say the first thing that comes to mind. And even that is a misnomer because, excuse me, I'll sneeze. Bless me. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I always think of my subconscious movements and as a kind of reminder that I'm not in control of my own body. That something puppets me. Like a marionette. And I think the most, people say it's God, or that it's something that controls us, something that has a plan. And the thing is, when people like me think of these ideas, we don't stop. I think that other people, the more neurotypical people, those that have a strong imagination or have a sensory reproductive ability inside, I think they have thoughts like me, such as thoughts of the divine, or of purpose, or of fate, chance, determinism. the mental nature of reality. And they have an image or something more descriptive inside, something that takes a lot of computational power to produce, you know, something in 3D space. So they stop and they contemplate and they think and they probably get tired. And they probably stop there and are satisfied with whatever the construction is. But whenever I think of these things, I don't construct anything. Even when I say Jesus or the cross or anything, I don't see a cross. I don't see an image of Jesus. I see a concept. I don't see anything, really. I don't even see a concept. It's not a seeing. What I see are the things in front of me, such as my phone in front of me. What I hear is the voice that you hear. There is nothing inside guiding me or telling me anything. And I suspect that for most people, there is something inside that feels like their own voice. But from what I understand, sometimes there are things said in your mind that you had no intention of saying. It's as if it arose from a darkness or a void. I think that that void is filled with things for most people. A second universe where they have a kind of godlike ability to control things. And some of us are cut off from that universe. Some of us are cut off from that, but we still get messages from the void. But they are likely intuitions and nonverbal, non-symbolic thought. There is a professor named Hurlburt at the University of Nevada who coined the term unsymbolized thought. And this thought is a fully formed thought that is not linked to any symbols such as words or letters or sounds or pictures or simulated experience. It's simply a thought that's formless, unsymbolized. And there are cognitive scientists now that don't believe in such things because in their own mind, every thought has to have a form. But what I was trying to get at is whenever I think of these hard topics or deep topics, they're just as vague as thinking of bubblegum. They're just as deep as thinking of my own mortality, because they're just words. They don't cause an emotional reaction unless I tap into something else. They don't cause a sensory experience at all, even if I tried. The emotionality can arise, but it's more of a reflection in the present moment that causes the emotion. It's the idea that these things have happened, the idea these things have happened to me in the abstract that causes that emotionality. The injustice of this thing or this other thing, the regret, right? It's not a reproduction of the same feelings that happened in the past, of those same things. It's a new experience in the moment that was constructed by the recollection of the past fact. That's the best way I can describe my mood in the moment. For instance, I can think of the most terrible things that have happened to me in the past and feel nothing, of course. But if I start describing those things out loud to myself, if I start putting myself down, or if I start saying angry things at somebody else, then slowly, surely, this emotional furnace will turn on, will heat up. Now, I have felt rage, you know, in the moment. But give me a few minutes and the rage will be gone. And I think that gives people that have this kind of brain condition where there's a kind of dissociation between the inner experience and the outer experience. We can watch this life more like I think it was intended to be seen, as a kind of movie or stage play where everyone's acting, including yourself, but we're unaware that we're acting. We're so method, we're so involved that we forget that this is all made up. Like, I started a philosophy, an ideology for myself called symbolism. It's a symbol inism, just like that. It's hard to say and it sounds made up. And in that I say that everything's a symbol that has been taught to us by others, right? By things that we consider separate from ourselves. But I say there is that even that on that separation itself is in a way an illusion. And that everything that we feel has been indoctrinated into our hearts and minds. There are instincts, but even those instincts were hardwired through some letters we call the genetic code, through experiences and decisions that we never had any say in. So the problem is when we have our imaginations active very strongly, we reinforce these habits and neural pathways such that they end up being groove-like in the mind. And it kind of cuts us off from other experiences, from having an open mind, you know, from changing our own thoughts. Because it's hard to change something so ingrained. But for people like me, your personality is nebulous. It's like a cloud. The person that I was even 2 or 3 years ago is unrecognizable to me because they feel like a stranger. I don't remember why I did those things. I can make a guess, but unless I wrote it down, it's gone. And I think that allows me to see this world as more transitory, you know, as just like looking at scenery as you're passing in a car, except the car is me, and the scenery is me, and you are me, and I am me, and we are me, and severely deficient autobiographical memory makes this possible because you just delete your own needs and thoughts because you could forget about them anyway. Why not forget about them in the moment? And when you choose to be of service to people that love you, they'll take care of you if you take care of them. So instead of seeing SDAM as a way to separate yourself from other people, which in honesty it is, because when you aren't around them, you can't bring them up in a physical sense in any way, not even a simulated physical sense. You are alone. What we must do is negate ourselves so that the other person is all there is. And once you've done that, you start treating them as if they deserve respect, not as though you should give them respect because, you know, it's a commandment or a law or a rule. You're to feel like they deserve respect, and you deserve respect. And then eventually, they'll deserve understanding, and then you'll deserve understanding. And that's it. We keep learning and teaching forever. So, I'm rambling, but I doubt many people listen to this. And if you do listen to this and you want to come on the show, I'm more than welcome or more than open to listen to you. I'll speak very little. You can talk as much as you want. Honestly, I just want to hear other voices that have this same SDAM, and I apologize for my cats in the background, for my baby, but, you know, life is life. I'm glad I get to hear them on this recording, for I do not remember them in that way.